wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, calamities happening. What do you want to know? What do people want to know? When they feel impotent, they want to know, is this the end of time? Is this the end of the world? I'm standing in Jerusalem, where Jesus explained to his disciples what the end of the age would be like. We'll look at it as we study the Gospel of Matthew. Come to the final discourse, the final teaching of Jesus Christ that is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. What provokes it? What provokes it is the city behind me. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me. And he goes on to say, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. As I stand here, and as you look at the Temple Mount in the background, where you see the Golden Dome is where the temple would be standing, right in that vicinity. So if you can imagine, instead of the Golden Dome, the temple, you can understand what Jesus is saying. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Remember when Solomon built the temple, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God filled that temple. And then when God destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC, Ezekiel saw the Spirit of the Lord leaving that temple. They saw the cloud of his presence leaving that temple. That presence did not come back into the rebuilt temple, the temple that was started by Ezra and was refurbished and aggrandized by Herod. That temple never had the presence of God in it until Jesus was carried in as a baby to fulfill the law. Then the glory of the Lord came back into the temple. In John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. And so the glory of the Lord went into the temple. Jesus is walking out of the temple. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised from the dead. And Jerusalem has rejected him. To appreciate Matthew chapter 24 and 25, because when he finishes these sayings, it's recorded for us in Matthew 26, 1. To appreciate that, you have to understand now what has come to this point in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, he is presenting to them the kingdom of heaven, and they are to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, there is a clash. There's a clash between Rome, between the world's governments, and between Jesus Christ. Because when the Magi come and say, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Herod wants to find him and wants to kill him. But the greatest clash is between those that have a religion but not a relationship. Those who are the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees who want to get rid of Jesus. And what you see in Matthew chapter 22, is you see the final parables that Jesus is telling. You see the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to trap Jesus. And then in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus pronounces the woes on these scribes and these Pharisees. What has happened? Israel as a nation has rejected Jesus. As a nation, there are some that are following him. There are some that are believers. And so it says in Matthew chapter 23, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Verse 39, for I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, what you have to realize is he's speaking to Israel. He's speaking to Israel. And he's saying, Israel, you as a nation are not going to see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's the time when Israel will recognize who he is, that he is the Messiah HaMashiach, that he is Yeshua, the one that saves him. And they will mourn then because they will recognize that this is the one that came to them and they rejected him. You say, it's not the same people, is it? No, it's not the same people, but it's the same nation with the same information, the same Tanakh, the same Old Testament. And all of a sudden their eyes are going to be opened and they're going to recognize him. Well, it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, that Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. So just think now, Golden Dome, this is the temple buildings. Along the pinnacle of the temple, the corner that you can see on top was the stoa, and those were buildings of the temple. And as they point them out, he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. You know, today I could take you at the bottom of what they consider may be the pinnacle of the temple, and I could show you stone upon stone piled there that was thrown down. Jesus was speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple that would come in 70 AD by a Roman general, Titus. And this is what he's talking about. It's going to be destroyed. You see how absolutely beautiful it is. But it is going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. When those stones tumbled, history tells us, Josephus tells us, that there was gold between those stones. And they pried those stones apart to get that gold. And it says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. And this is where I am, beloved. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives, just to remind you, just in case you just caught the program. And if you did, I just want to urge you to get this series on Matthew, which we're taught on location, which we're taught in the land of Israel. Well, he sits on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is opposite the Eastern Gate. It's opposite the Temple Mount. And what separates them is the Kidron Valley. Well, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen? When will these stones be torn down? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, he's not going to answer the first question. It's answered in Luke, but it's not answered in Matthew because it does not serve his purpose. Because Matthew is pointing you to the king. Matthew is pointing you to the kingdom of heaven. So the end of the age and the sign of his coming all have to do with the kingdom and the king coming. You want to mark it by putting a blue cloud around coming, every reference to his coming. Then I colored the inside blue and the very center yellow. Now, the reason that you're marking that and marking it that way is so that when you look at your Bible, you can see every reference to the coming of the Lord. And then you make a list. What do you learn from marking that text about the coming of the Lord? Well, they've asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? And that word sign of your coming is very important. We're going to see that, but not in this program. We're going to see it in the next one. And of the end of the age. Now, what I do is I mark the end of the age. I just color it red. So every reference to the end, you want to mark in red. So what Jesus is going to do now is he's going to answer the last question. What is the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many. The other day, I was sitting in the Jewish quarter with my friend Moshe, and he's been on CNN and other things. He's an Orthodox Jew. He's a teacher of the word. And we were sitting there, and we were discussing Daniel 9, 24 to 27, and what they believe and what I believe and how do we handle those scriptures. And he was telling me, he says, look over there. And there was a woman coming through. He says, she's the second one that is saying that she's the Messiah. He said, a week ago, a woman came into the square there of the Jewish quarter, riding on a donkey and screaming that she was the Messiah. Well, he says, see to it that no one misleads you. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. The Christ is synonymous with Messiah, as you know by now, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that. Now, see that it's the second C. See that you are not frightened. For these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So you want to mark the end again. And so, because he says that's not yet the end, you know that he's dealing with that last question. What is the sign of the end of the age? Because it's at the end of the age that Messiah comes. And he says, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all of these are merely, he says, the beginning of birth pangs. It's like a woman who is going to deliver a child, and all of a sudden everything is fine, and then all of a sudden she has pain. And it's the beginning of the birth pangs. But the beginning of the birth pangs are nothing to be compared with the final delivery of that child, which is great pain. Beloved, what I am sharing with you today is so essential for you to know, so that you won't be misled. Why? Because we're approaching the end of the days. And you need to know what Jesus had to say about this. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Such a privilege to stand here on the Mount of Olives with the city of Jerusalem behind me for your view, so that you might understand and catch what was happening on that day when Jesus came up here on the Mount of Olives and looked with his disciples at the Temple Mount and said that all these things were going to be torn down. They had asked him, remember, what will be the sign of your coming? And we're going to deal with that in the next program. But then he asked, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? How will I know that it's the end of the age? Well, before the break, I was reading Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. But I want to go back to verse 6. See that you are not frightened. You're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear of rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. There's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, and these things are inevitable. And you have to know why they're inevitable. They're inevitable because men don't know God. They're inevitable because we have come up with all sorts of religions rather than believing the Tanakh, believing the Old Testament and the New Testament. And because we don't understand and acknowledge the one and only true God, because we have not bowed the knee to him, so to speak, because we have not bowed the knee and said, you are God and you have a right to rule, then we're living in a world that is governed by the prince of this world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So wars and rumors of wars are inevitable because men are power hungry. Men and women are power hungry. They're interested in themselves. They're not interested in others. They're not walking, as Jesus said, summarizing the commandments of loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, and their neighbor as themselves. No, it's all about moi. It's all about me. And so there's wars and there's power and there's nations coming against nations, but that is not yet the end. Then he goes on to say, all these things, he says, for nation, verse 7, will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Now, you're familiar with what's going on in our time right now. You're familiar with these horrible, horrible famines. You're familiar with the earthquakes that are taking place and bringing fear to people's hearts. He says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. He says, then, it's a time phrase. You need to mark it. Put a round green circle around it or a clock. In some way, mark it. He says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, who is he talking about? Well, if they're hated by all nations, then, and he has just said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's talking to his disciples. They are all Jewish. So primarily, these are Jewish people. They are Jews who, in all probability, have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, when we study prophecy, we see that in the last days, at the end of the days, that sometime Jesus Christ is going to come and take the church out of here. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, where it's talking about this mortal putting on immortality. This is talking about us being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And yet after that, there will be people that will be saved. God is going to bring Israel to himself. He's going to take Israel through the fire. And as he takes them through the fire, Zechariah chapter 13 says, two-thirds will perish, but one-third will survive, and they will say, he is my God. And he will say, you are my people. So you've got to know that there is going to be persecution of believers, Jews, in the last days. He says, they will deliver you to tribulation. They will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, this ought to bring comfort to those that are living at that time, because he's saying they will kill you. He could have stopped it, but he doesn't. These are the martyrs that you read about in Revelation. And it says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. So in this end of the age, what you're going to see, now watch my body language, what you're going to see is you're going to see an apostasy. You are going to see, imagine me turning and holding on to something because this is what I believe, and then all of a sudden dropping it and turning my back on it, that is apostasy. It means to turn away from something you once held to be true. And so he's saying, at that time, many will fall away. And in falling away, they'll betray one another. And not only that, it says they will hate one another. He says many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased and most people's love will grow cold. When you don't have the law, when you don't have something restraining you, then your attitude towards others is really coldness because it's all about you. And so what we're going to see, and we're seeing it now, we're seeing it. Look at the nations. Look at what's going on. Look at our nation. And you see lawlessness increasing and increasing and increasing. And he goes on to say that this, he says, because lawlessness is increasing, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, and you want to mark the end, he will be saved. And then he makes a statement, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, in the whole world, as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, if you were to go to Revelation chapter 14, in Revelation chapter 14, it tells us in verses 6 and 7. Listen to what it says. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. So an eternal gospel is going to go out through the heavens, calling us to worship God. And yet the sad thing, beloved, is many will not listen. Many will not respond. So he assures us, and this is the heart of God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he says, the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. What is going to happen? There's going to be a great apostasy before the very last 3.5 years. And this is recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians, and you can look it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says the day of the Lord cannot come unless the apostasy occurs first. Well, what has he done here? He's given us an overview. He's given us what is the sign of the end of the age. And you can review those things and you can see what the sign of the end of the age is. But now, next, he's going to tell us what is the sign of his coming. You don't want to miss that teaching. And beloved, he wants you to live as if he could come at any moment.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Beloved, Do you know whether you are truly a child of God or not? Well, it comes out in our lesson today. It comes out in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to see it. And then I want to explore it with you as we look at his precept for life for us personally today. He tells us that in verse 13, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. He is not saying that you are saved by endurance, but what he's saying is this: your endurance in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of the threatening of your life, that if you don't deny Jesus Christ, we'll kill you. And the fact that you say, then you'll have to kill me, because you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The fact that you endure shows the reality of your faith. So I want you to see this verse. I want to make sure that you've got it down. It says in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And I want to support that by showing you scriptures in the New Testament that shows us the importance of endurance. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, where he's describing the gospel. He says, now I make known to you, brethren, verse 1, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. Now listen carefully. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. He says you've got to hold fast the word. In Hebrews, which is a book about people that are being suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 6, he's talking about Christ being faithful as a son over his house, over God's house, whose house we are, listen carefully, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. The end until we see Jesus, the end until Jesus comes, or the end until we die. And in verse 14, he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Beloved, perseverance is a sign of your salvation. So when you come to a trial and you go through that trial, and you don't deny Jesus Christ, you can know God is saying, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Oh, beloved, he is coming, and you and I need to be ready.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.